Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
D-Mac, Chad Brown, Friday. You did it. You're done.
You made it.
You made it. Somehow you crushed it. Way to go. We're on the precipice of a beautiful sunset here. Maybe you're headed up to the mountains for some skiing. We have high school championship basketball this weekend. Best of luck to everybody playing, all the kids playing in that. Yeah, our own Troy Rank is rooting on his kid. Is it like they're 52-1 or something the past 2 years? How about that for a high school basketball?
How about that
career? See how they do. Wish them the best of luck. We got a high school baseball stuff that's starting up, Chad.
It's a good time of year.
Congratulations to Daniel Schlereth. Daniel has a minor league deal with the Red Sox. However, in spring training, he is up and down with the big club. And yesterday, on a game that was televised on ESPN, Daniel, at least for one batter, I only saw the highlight for one batter. I don't know how long he was in there. Got an awesome strikeout for the big league team. Dude! Daniel, I love it. The pride of Highlands Ranch High School.
Strong.
Who, you know, got a cup of coffee in the majors for a little bit. One of the most awesome things I'd ever seen was when he was playing for the Tigers. And he struck out Seth Smith and Todd Helton in like the sixth inning or something in a game down at Coors Field. Just awesome. Had a hard time sticking in the majors. Had some injury issues. Bumped around. Plenty of reasons for Daniel to give up. Plenty. Just kept plugging away, plugging away, plugging away. Wouldn't quit, wouldn't quit, wouldn't quit. And, you know, was with the Mariners, like double-A team last year. Got hurt again. Rehabbed. Worked hard. Got signed by the Red Sox. And there he is on TV, you know, striking a dude out. I was just like, that my man. Way to go.
Speaking of quit, you see Cowboys' David Irving in his quitting Instagram video? Instagram
no.
Live?
No. What do you mean quitting Instagram Live? What does that mean?
So he was on Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he's explaining that he's done with football as he's smoking a blunt.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's wrapping it up.
He's
throwing it down.
He wrapped that thing up in a pretty bow, I suppose. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
if you're
where is he doing that at?
On Instagram Live.
No, I mean, what state is he in doing that?
I have no idea, but he is under suspension for drug abuse.
Yep, he got suspended a week ago.
Yeah.
So he's taking that pretty seriously.
Yeah. So he's quitting the NFL. He likes football. He just doesn't like the NFL, he says.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But what league does he like?
The league where you can smoke weed on Instagram Live.
What league would that be?
I don't know.
Bill Paul, I'm not even sure what to say about that, but that might be just tough getting a job at the bank with that on Instagram Live. I mean, you know, there's other people that may check out your social media.
You can't be a security guard doing that.
Maybe he's got enough money to never work again or is going to start his own business. We wish him the best.
All right.
Somehow there'll be somebody to take your place, dude, so best of luck to you. Bill Polian is retiring from ESPN. He is one of the head honchos with the AAF.
Uh-huh.
And there, I think what his focus will be is finding a partnership with the NFL. I think this is one of the smartest things the NFL could do. I think it would be incredible for the AAF to have players. Brendan Langley. Brendan Langley is with the Broncos. He wants to be a wide receiver. Well, wouldn't it be great if Brendan Langley, for the next 2 months, could play in the AAF at wide receiver?
I dig the concept of it. I just don't know how you execute that.
You play him.
But
you have partnerships. It's like a minor league partnership, and you can associate a player with a club, and you don't have to represent. Not everybody has to be from the same team on the same club.
But in football, you can literally lose your career in one play.
That's right.
So Brendan Langley, third round pick. He's going to make $575,000.
Okay.
From his NFL contract.
Mm-hmm.
What does he get paid for the...
I don't know. That's what Bill Polian will have to figure out. I mean, that stuff like that is how they'll have to hash things out.
But and if you're an agent, you're going to want your guy to go play minor league football?
Well, agent. What's up, dude? Agent.
Now, Mr. Agent Man. Yes.
Your guy can go play for the AAF, and we'll pay... He'll make an extra $100,000 for the next 2 months, or we're going to cut him.
I want to be paid at my NFL rate. I don't want to be paid at...
you know what? But goodbye. Bye-bye. Next. Goodbye, Mr. Agent.
Okay, cut me. All right,
you're cut. Next. Okay, you're going to have to go play in the AAF.
To your point and to Bill Bolian's point.
Get rid of him, too. Bring in the next guy. You know what I'm saying? It goes like that.
I think to make a tie to the NFL is the only way these new leagues are going to have any... longevity.
Oh, this is the only hope because they're so ridiculously boring. It's unwatchable.
So if there's...
You'd have to have names there. And you'd have to do something else that's tough. You would have to not hit the quarterback. Yeah, I know. And that's where you're just going to... It'd have to be like...
You saw what happened to... on the first week, that huge highlight hit
on
the quarterback.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that. It's got to be kind of two-hand touch. It sucks.
So,
but you're going to have to establish that rule for the quarterback.
The league, the minor league for the NFL, we want it to be Pro Bowl-like football because that will help us evaluate them and help us prepare
them for
the NFL.
No. Not pro. I mean, tackle everybody else. Tackle everybody else.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, it's like training camp for the quarterbacks. If you get to the quarterback, you put your hands on them, they blow the whistle, that's it. That's exactly what happens in training camp, and
what if a quarterback runs?
He's not allowed to run. you simply make a rule: he cannot run because it's a developmental league.
So the whole zone read thing that every quarterback in college football does, we're going to take that away from you in this minor league system that's supposed to develop you for the NFL.
Yeah, because right. I mean, we're not developing runners; we're developing throwers, passers.
Ah.
That's what Paxton Lynch didn't need to develop running. Josh Allen doesn't need to develop running. I mean, Garrett Grayson doesn't need to develop running. He needs to develop throwing. So you just have to, create some rules that would make it a little unique. You'd have to have it like training camp for the quarterbacks. Maybe give them a green jersey or something so everybody knows they're a quarterback. I'm being serious here. And then you tackle to the ground for everybody else. But that is almost identical to the third week of training camp.
So how far does this preparation for the NFL go? Are you limited as a offensive coordinator and a head coach on what you can call? You can only call NFL-style plays?
Yeah. You have to go all in with this. Listen, this thing is just going to die if you don't do this. It's going to die.
I agree.
The level of football is not entertaining enough
for
people to watch. The only way people will watch is if they have their NFL players on their teams. That's it. If we knew that Garrett Grayson was playing for the Arizona Hotshots this weekend, we would be more interested to watch him play. If we knew Paxton Lynch was going to play for the South Alabama, Wiki Shoots. I don't know. I don't even know. Birmingham Iron. We'd watch the game.
I prefer Wiki Shoots.
And then you know what I'm talking about. And then you can strategically place these pro players regionally to where they're from. So you could put Paxton Lynch in the Memphis area, right? You could put Garrett Grayson in the Utah whatever area. You could do stuff like that.
I think there needs to be ties like that. Yes, you need to try to pull some viewers from the college ties. So each of the eight teams has a geographic area where they can pull their players from to recruit those college
that's
fans.
It. That's in essence
like that
what the AAF has right now.
And
right.
They're trying to do that.
Right.
But there's
but I need
nobody is watching this to watch Christian Hackenberg. I'm sorry.
Right. There needs to be a tie to your NFL team. Why do I have to watch this? Because these guys could be allocated to my NFL team.
That's right.
So there's 32
that's
teams.
Right.
There's eight teams in the AAF. So four NFL teams have an opportunity to grab guys from that particular team.
That's right.
There needs to be a tie to make the fans compelled. Otherwise, it's going to be like every other football league in the past and disappear within a couple of seasons.
It's going to be boring. It's boring right now.
Well, next year starts the XFL.
That's going to be boring too.
It's going to be they've got money because they got wrestling money.
Doesn't matter. Here's what I've figured out about football. It's such a hard sport to play. It is so difficult to play.
Uh-huh. Tell me about this. Yes.
Hey, good for you, man.
I've got no idea. Go ahead.
No, you have all the ideas. This is an incredible compliment.
Uh-huh.
That it's only interesting to watch on the highest levels.
Because we've seen the highest level. Lower levels make no sense to
us. The sport itself is so hard to play.
Right. It's hard to watch bad football. I've always said America doesn't need more football. They need more good football.
Yeah.
Think about some of those Thursday night games we've suffered through these last couple of years.
Yeah. And that's in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the solution to that is simple. You add 2 weeks into the season and you have the Super Bowl on President's Day. And you make sure before those Thursday games, the team always has a bye before those Thursday games. And you probably do add a 17th game into the season. So you have a set and you back up the start of training camp by a week. So you have two bye weeks. The Super Bowl ends on President's Day weekend, which is awesome. We'd all have Monday off, so have some fun.
Should be that way. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we extend the summer a little bit more before we actually get to the training camp. And you start the season probably mid-September, something like that. It's not that complicated.
No, it's not.
And if the players have a brain in there, and you'd add more players to the roster as well. You'd go up to 58 on a roster. It's pretty simple.
It is simple. That means it costs the owners more money, more players.
Yeah, but it's going to be better. It's going to be so much better. We talked about that, like Derek Wolfe compared to Malik Jackson. It may be a short-term kind of hit, but over the long term, it's going to be much more beneficial, and the quality of football is going to be through the roof. It's going to be awesome. So the quality of football right now in these other minor leagues, AAF or XFL, it's boring. It's just boring, Chad. Boring.
True.
By the way, did you see, this is kind of exciting. Did you see the proposed rules changes in the Atlantic Baseball League? It's some sort of minor league. And I'm not sure, Big Sexy, what division is it. I'm sure they have some sort of food-eating theme that you own a hat for in the Atlantic something or other league. But what they're going to do is have balls and strikes are going to be called by the robots.
Okay.
TrackMan. TrackMan is where you get all this information from, okay. By the way. Okay. TrackMan will call balls and strikes. It'll just relay it down to the umpire. They're going to move the mound back by 2 feet midway through the season. Fascinating, right?
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, so it's going to be more offensive friendly, theoretically. If you throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, it's not going to quite jump on you quite as quick. You're going to have a little bit more time to adjust to a breaking pitch. It's going to be an advantage to the hitters. They're going to make the bases 3 inches wider, 3 inches all around wider, which is going to make it much safer. Probably less collisions. You slide into the base, gives you more room to just be around the base itself. Super smart decision. No mound visits unless somebody is hurt or you're taking the guy out. That's it. No players to the mound, no catchers to the mound, none of that crap. Like, you got to figure it out or take them out of the game. When you put pitchers in, you got to see three batters or it goes until the end of the inning. So it's not this lefty against this lefty. All right, timeout. This guy against that guy, that sort of thing.
It just sounds like a bunch of moves to speed up the game and increase the scoring.
It sounds great to me.
Sounds like what they're trying to do in almost every sport. People like scoring and people want shorter games.
Right.
Yes.
So inherently, that is going to be fun baseball to watch.
I can dig that. I don't like a 4-hour baseball game.
Right. The AAF has some really good ideas and really good concepts. But until you can put quarterbacks that are associated with NFL teams on the field, nobody's going to care. Do you know who the star of the AAF is right now? The star. The biggest name and the biggest player that's getting the most attention in the AAF right now is who?
Give it to me.
Trent Richardson.
Yes, he's lighting it up.
Cool. We all know who he is.
Played at Alabama. Was a Cleveland Brown. Yes.
He's the star of the entire league. Well, can you imagine if that league had Sean Mannion and Paxton Lynch and Colin Kaepernick and help me out, fellas. Throw some names out.
Who's
there.
Who's going to pay these guys?
The NFL. The NFL. That's why it has to be a partnership. The NFL.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel. Well, Johnny Manziel, he's not associated with an NFL team. He'd just be kind of on his own.
Right.
But, you know, no, you'd have to be paid by your NFL team. Yeah, you'd have to be paid by them. But it's going... And you can't sack the quarterback. That's the toughest one to get around. But there's no way that an NFL team would allow that.
We don't care about any other position. We only care about quarterbacks. The only one whose safety we're concerned with.
Why do people come to training camp?
To watch quarterbacks throw bombs. And maybe get a glimpse of a pass rush drill. Ooh and ah.
But we go there year after year, right? We cover it.
Yeah.
You participated in it for years.
Uh-huh.
Quarterbacks don't get sacked. Why are all those people on the hill?
To watch quarterbacks throw bombs.
That's it. It's really not. People don't come out to football games. It's a tough one. Do people come to football games to see quarterbacks get hit or quarterbacks throw?
The other team's quarterback get hit and our quarterback throw. That's the answer to that question. That's not a hard one to answer at all. Am I wrong?
No, you're probably not wrong.
You want Von Miller to destroy Aaron Rodgers. You want to see him put Aaron Rodgers 3 feet deep in that dirt. You're not looking to see your quarterback and Aaron Rodgers get into a quarterback duel. You want Aaron Rodgers destroyed. You want bodily harm done to him. And you want your quarterback to throw for 450 yards.
How do you get a backup quarterback better? Without playing in real games.
He's got to play.
He's got to play. How? Once training camp is over, how many reps does a backup quarterback get of quality reps, percentage-wise? How many quality percentage-wise reps does a quarterback get once the regular season starts?
Typical period during a practice is going to have 12 plays. Starting quarterback is going to get somewhere between 8 and 10 of those. So between 4 and 2 plays a period.
How many periods?
Where he'll actually be passing the ball 7-on-7 in 2 team periods. So we're talking 6 to 12 plays.
All every day. And is this just Wednesday and Thursday or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Friday will change a little bit, but yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the most part. The structure of practice is essentially the same.
So you're getting about 20% of the reps.
Yes.
Ish.
Starters get 3/4 of the reps.
75-25. We'll just roll up to 25. How can you get better?
It's hard. And then later in the season.
How do you get better?
Because they want to reduce the wear and tear. They'll say, well, this period that used to be 12 plays is now only 10 plays.
I mean, wouldn't the backup quarterback be better off just going off to a side field where you bring in another 30 guys that are just there to simulate a practice?
Well, that's what colleges do. They have 2 separate practices going on at the same time.
Right.
So they can get as many reps as possible.
Yeah, because they can roster like 100 guys a team.
Yeah, so yeah, Michigan's got 120 kids out there. You know, 85 on scholarship and all these walk-ons and everything else. So Jim Harbaugh usually has 2 practices going on either separately or sometimes at the exact same time.
And college will commonly have 4 or 5 quarterbacks on a team.
Yes. NFL's not built that way. The NFL has an issue, to your point. The overall point is there needs to be a better way to develop players for the NFL. I'm not sure if the system you're proposing is the way to do it, but something needs to be done, particularly at the quarterback and the offensive line positions.
What if even during the season there was a training camp sort of feel for backups?
The Patriots, I know I'm the resident Patriot lover, and I try
dangerous,
my best.
Dangerous territory,
not
Chad.
To mention them every
dangerous
day.
Dangerous territory.
But at some point, you have to acknowledge that the team that has been the best in football over the last 20 years has figured a few things out. Bill Belichick has opportunity practices at the end of regular practice. Depending on who you are, your status on the team, and what's going on, everything else, there will be opportunity practices at the end of the regular practice. Tom Brady and Gronk go to the locker room, backup quarterback and a few other guys stay behind, and they do extra practices to make sure they get enough reps. It's incredibly smart and efficient.
Right.
They tape it. They coach it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as serious as any other thing that the Patriots or any other NFL team does, but it's for the backup guys to get better. It's called an opportunity. Really, it's mandatory. And it's an opportunity for you to improve your game.
See, this is the biggest flaw in Mike Beep Beep Evans' strategy with these khaki pants quarterbacks, never mind the Magic Mushroom quarterbacks and, you know, rounds 5 through 7 is you say, well, we'll see the guys develop. When?
Well, how?
When and how? And, you know, his beef is like, well, those first round guys, that's the plan. I mean, they're, you got to use them. Yeah. And it's not just first round guys. It's quarterbacks taken 1 through 19. And the higher, the better. Forget about the 20s. Yeah, that's the plan. That's why, that's, you know, Hugh Jackson did deserve to be fired, by the way. Because him and Todd Haley, both of them with the Browns there, Chad. The concept that that Tyrod Taylor would start ahead of Baker Mayfield was insane. I mean, it was insane. The concept that they were giving more reps to Tyrod Taylor than Baker Mayfield at any point was insane. They were 1-31 in the last 2 years. You see where I'm going?
I know where you're going.
All the work that went into...
I watched that Hard Knocks and was disgusted the entire time.
It's insane that Baker Mayfield wasn't... You are the guy. Let's get him up to speed. 75% Baker Tyrod, I'm sorry, this is the deal. He would have understood it. Insane.
I would not have anointed him starter from day one. I would have tried to reduce some of the pressure on him and had Tyrod as my starter to begin with, but I would not have done the traditional, you get 8 plays, you get 4 plays. We're going to split this 6-6. We've got to develop this guy. He's the number one pick in the draft. I'm sorry, Tyrod, this is the way this is going to work. You're my starter. But you've been around the NFL. You know we're going to play this guy, and I have to get him ready.
I actually kind of feel bad for Josh Rosen in as much that he's been through so many different offensive systems in 5 years. I mean, it's...
4 years.
It's 4 years, sorry.
Yes, because 2 last year, and then 3 in his 3 years in UCLA.
This guy probably does need a little time. I would say to just, hey, kick back a little. Let's just Aaron Rodgers him up a little bit. You know, you get on a team, just... sit there, observe a tad. That actually could be effective for a guy like him, as long as wherever he goes stays consistent with their system.
Yes. You can learn.
Even if he was to stay in Arizona, even if it was a miracle and he stayed in Arizona at this point, he's going to have to start from scratch all over again.
You can learn by watching, but typically best only after you've played some.
Yeah.
Because you've seen it, you felt it, now you're watching it, and you're able to mentally kind of place yourself there. If you're just watching and you're not getting reps, it's almost impossible to make yourself better.
Big Sexy, do we have the players that Joe Flacco played with who are free agents this year in terms of offensive weapons? Who we got?
Just looking at wide receivers, you told me not to look at running backs. Yeah. I have found 5 names that are free agents right
now. Let's think about these guys. Go ahead.
Number 1, Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
Number 2, John Brown.
John Brown. Tell me about John Brown.
You want me to tell you about John Brown?
I want Chad
Brown?
To tell me about John Brown. Okay. What do you think of John Brown?
He has
Brown?
A great last name, I can tell you that.
All right, who are the other guys?
Brashad Perryman, okay. Jeremy Maclin, and Mike Wallace.
Okay. I would say... Perryman, who'd you say after Perryman?
Mike Wallace.
And Jeremy Maclin.
Maclin. Okay. Okay. I would say one of those 5 guys should be... We should look at one of those 5 guys. We should really, honestly, break it down, kind of dig into one of these 5 guys.
I'm going to say no on Crabtree because he's not a slot guy.
I tell you what, let's take a break. Okay. Let's take a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dig into him a little bit. Because in terms of where the Broncos are going, it feels and appears like wide receiver is going to be one of them. There's 5 guys with experience with Joe Flacco. And I'll tell you where else the Broncos are kind of looking. We'll do that coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, Chad Brown. Nuggets tonight against Golden State. Huge, huge game. Tonight we have DU Hockey after a version of The Drive Reloaded. Taking on CC. Always a big game, DUCC. News out of Avland, not good, with Gabriel Landeskog having an upper body injury. after his collision with King Kong Bundy, who plays goalie for the Stars, and that will put Landeskog out for the regular season, which, unless the Avs can just really turn it around here and get their way into the playoffs, that's a wrap. So, come on, Avs. Trying to hang in there with you the best we can. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown embarrasses the Bills. I don't know. The Bills are now like back saying it wasn't even that close and not a big deal. By the way, we heard that tweet, Chad, that there would be some sort of trade. Here we are in the late afternoon in the Mountain time zone.
And I have no news for you.
Where's this deal with Antonio Brown and all his suitors?
Oh, I got nothing for you right now, buddy.
All right. Okay.
Same tweet from an hour ago. No update on it.
That was going to happen today, right? It was going to be done by today.
Steelers close to deal for Antonio Brown. Three teams still alive in process.
Okay. We'll let you know the latest if we can. Finding more out about the Broncos' desires in free agency, look for some splash signings, I've been told. Aside from Joe Flacco, look for another big name. Do not be surprised if they go after a wide receiver, amongst others. So then you say, well, okay, who is connected to Joe Flacco? And we kind of dug into five guys who have played with Joe Flacco. Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Rashard Perryman, Mike Wallace, Jeremy Maclin. Okay, talk to me about these fellas, Chad. Like, who do you like? What's a good thing? What's a bad thing about these guys?
I think the bad thing is they're all kind of similar to guys that we have here. The biggest receiver need for the Broncos is in the slot. Michael Crabtree is not a slot guy. He doesn't. So,
all right, so we're looking for a slot guy. So Crabtree's out.
John Brown, he's 6'3", 180. Complete opposite.
He's
a skinny dude.
of
a slot bot. Now, he's got wheels. He can run. He averaged 17 yards per catch. But now you're going to be taking reps from the outside guys, from Cortland Sutton. For Emmanuel Sanders. Is that what you want to do?
What is it, 6'3", 180?
6'3", 180.
Dang. 6'3", 180. That is a toothpick in the NFL.
Okay, I'm sorry. 5'11".
Oh.
there was two different sites I was looking
all
at.
Right,
one
right.
had him at 6'3". This is one that got
all right,
correct.
Five. So now all of a sudden he's looking like your more typical slot guy.
But he's not a slot guy, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah. 28, which is nice because Crabtree is 31.
John Brown, 28 years old.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll put a little star there, and we'll maybe get back to it. Perryman.
Rashard Perryman.
Sorry.
Not Rashard, but Rashard.
Sorry, my bad.
All right. 25, 6'2", 215. Clearly, my body type, not a slot guy. And not really tremendous numbers over the last couple of years.
How tall is he? What'd you say?
6'2", 215.
Uh-huh. Gosh, you know, that means Tim Patrick's bigger than him. Cortland Sutton's bigger than him. He's a little heavier probably than Deshaun Hamilton. That doesn't seem to make much sense.
Played last year with the Cleveland Browns, was signed on October 13th, 16 catches for 340 yards.
Yeah, that doesn't do a lot for me right there.
So now we're looking at Jeremy Maclin.
Okay.
6 feet. 198.
Mm-hmm.
A guy, when healthy, had wheels, could run past you. He was pretty dynamic for a little bit.
How old's Jeremy Maclin?
Jeremy Maclin is 30. Now, remember, he did not play last year.
Okay, interesting. Why didn't he play?
Injury. Knee injury. So his last year was with the Ravens.
What kind of knee injury?
Torn groin in 2016.
Okay. So he's had some bumps and bruises.
Yeah. So, last 2 years that he played, 16 and 17. 16 with the Kansas City Chiefs, 44 catches. Last year, 2017 with the Ravens, 40 catches. 12 yards with the Chiefs per catch average, 11 yards with the Ravens per catch average. Targeted, yeah, about the same both places, but numbers just weren't very good. And again, I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to be able to play the slot for you.
All right. So really, there's only one dude.
Seemingly.
John Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have John Brown or Danny Amendola, who was let go today by the Dolphins?
Danny Amendola. We also got Mike Wallace, but he's definitely not a slot guy either. And at 32 years old, towards the end of his career, and he's jumped around a little bit here towards the end. 14 with the Dolphins, 15 with the Vikings last 2 years.
He's 32 years old?
Yes.
That's no good.
And he was hurt last year, placed on injury reserve with the Eagles.
Yeah, that's no good.
Fractured fibula. So it's not an awful injury, but definitely at 32 years old, he's starting to show signs you can't stay healthy.
All right, so out of that group, then, John Brown looks the most appealing.
Yes.
For the role that's most available. We'll see. Why is Danny Amendola better than John Brown?
Experience. Numbers. Number of different systems. We would think of Adam Gase as a pretty good offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Amendola was certainly in New England. Those guys know how to run a good offense. And the role that I would be looking for from the slot guy would be much more than just the production on the field. This is such a young wide receiver room outside of Emmanuel Sanders. Another veteran voice to come in and be that positive attitude. This is how you become a great NFL player mentor role. Danny Amendola can do that.
Okay.
John Brown's still trying to make himself into a starter.
Are there any guys, we got our crew back there looking at it too, are there any other slot guys that sort of jump out at anybody? Is there anybody else out there? The fact that you have some sort of connection with Joe Flacco, I don't think we can dismiss that. You know, it's funny, what made Peyton Manning comfortable when Peyton Manning first got here?
Stoke.
You know, and Stoke had, I was hanging out with Stoke the other night. He is great. What a great dude. And he's talking about how, you know, he was basically done. But he hadn't played in a little bit. His body had actually healed, Chad.
Uh-huh.
It is amazing if you just give your body just a chance to just rest a little bit, what you could possibly do coming back. Stoke had kind of is, you know, I'm over, I'm done. It's not going to happen anymore. And then it just, you know, little by little, it was working out. And there's no doubt that Stoke was a nice a security blanket for Peyton. First of all, he's a friend. Can't discount that. It's nice having a buddy around.
Right.
But the next thing was Stoke was unbelievably productive. Because there's a chemistry, you know. And sometimes I was wondering, like, how are Edelman and Tom Brady always seemingly in sync? And how is Edelman getting so open? There has to be some sort of thing between these two guys.
Oh, clearly.
It can't all be just drawn up. It cannot. There's no way these are all design routes. There's got to be something else.
Just think about the confidence that Tom has that Edelman's going to be where he knows he's going to be. So now Tom can look to the complete other side of the field, draw the safeties, draw linebackers with his eyes to the other side of the field, whip back to Edelman and throw it to him. So Edelman may not be getting open on his own. It's a product of the chemistry and the trust that they have together. I don't need to look at you to know where you're going to be. I know exactly where you're going to be. I'm going to not look at you at all, and then at the very last second, put my eyes on you and throw the ball to you. That's that chemistry thing. That's how that happens. I think on that Tom Brady documentary, they were recording Tom in, what, Costa Rica? Was Edelman there in Costa Rica running
I
routes?
I believe so, yeah.
So you go to Costa Rica to run routes. You got a connection together. You guys are on the same page. They couldn't even do that here in Denver.
When we come back, Todd McShay may have the guy. He really may have the guy in his mock. We'll let you know who that is. And how the Broncos are feeling about Josh Rosen today, details next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Jonah Williams going to the Broncos at number 10, an offensive lineman, Steemack and Chad Brown. When you saw that, Chad, for the first time, what did you think?
At first, I thought, that's not the right move to make. You've got such a great coach in Mike Munchak. You can draft a guy later on in the draft and develop him. But then once you start to think about the economics of things, the ability to draft a starting offensive line, particularly at one of the tackle spots, Jonah Williams most likely be a right tackle. the money saving you would get versus trying to go after that guy in free agency, plus the potential bump in performance on the field, it almost makes it the absolute smartest move, because you can get a slot receiver. You may be able to get a linebacker. You may be able to get a corner. All those taken care of in free agency.
Yeah.
But it's going to be difficult to get a starting quality tackle at that price.
It's almost impossible.
In free agency.
Once these offensive linemen, and we saw what happened today. First of all, the Steelers signed up a couple of their own guys, and then right tackle Marcus Gilbert goes to Arizona for a sixth-round pick. The value is just not that great anymore. So there was a feeling that Ramon Foster would come here to the Broncos because I guess he likes Mike Munchak, but at the end of the day, he stays with the Steelers. Pouncey stays with the Steelers. Billy Turner of the Broncos looks like he's going to free agency, so it looks like the Broncos are going to lose Billy Turner. At least they couldn't get a deal done before free agency started, so he's going to test the waters.
He'll be pretty well sought after. Guy who can play guard and tackle for you?
Yep.
That's a rare combination. There's a lot of center guards. There's very few guard tackles.
I shouldn't write them off. Veldier, to me, is meh. They're stuck with Ron Leary. They are just stuck with him. The contract.
Big money.
Just, he's the left guard.
I think his cap number is $9 million plus.
It's something ridiculous. So he's like the penciled in starter. There's just not, I mean, they got to try to make it work with him because they're just stuck with him. It's just so much money just to be thrown away that you just can't just automatically get rid of him. So I think this Jonah Williams situation is really interesting. You got to pay attention to who's evaluating who. Oh, my God. I saw Boomer Esiason and Gio, that show out of New York City. Yeah. This Gio guy's really funny, and he does impersonations of people, and he's doing his impersonation of Charlie Casserly. It's hysterical. I don't know what we're going to do. Here's what I think we're... I mean, he's like making him sound like a lunatic redneck.
Yeah, that was a little bit more hillbilly when you were doing that.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad at impressions, but his was just... Basically, what he was saying with his impression, which was killer, was that Charlie Casserly is a doddering old fool who just makes evaluations and talks to people that just aren't in the know anymore. And it was a really funny impression. And it rips Charlie Casserly, which I've seen some people rip Charlie Casserly.
He's had very few people come to his defense.
Yeah. It's just that... The review that Charlie Casserly gave to Kyler Murray kind of falls in line with just what I was thinking about him very independently by watching Kyler Murray just go through some interviews and other process. So, I don't know. I hope the Cardinals take Kyler Murray because it's the best chance the Broncos can have in finding a quarterback they could possibly develop in Josh Rosen. The value is off the charts for Josh Rosen if you really can get him for a third-round pick. Even a second-round pick is pretty good. He becomes that hybrid, top-10 pick who, you know, all of a sudden is a khaki pantser. He's not living in the world of magic mushrooms, which are just fairy tale picks after round five.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the, I don't even know what to call the undrafted guys. The Rudies.
Right.
I mean, that's the Disneys. Disney stories. The Rudies. The Disney stories.
Unicorns.
Unicorns. There you go. That's good. I bet I could see a unicorn in The Lion King.
Maybe somewhere.
Maybe.
They drew one in.
Simba has a best friend who's a unicorn in his mind. Like in that stampede, you know, that horrible stampede. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's a unicorn in the stampede.
Right.
What did you give me here, Big Sexy? What should I be looking
These
at?
These are
here?
The proposals to rule changes.
Oh, my God. I love stuff like this.
And the Broncos have proposed three different rule changes to
my
the competition
gosh.
Committee.
I love this. I'm getting this now?
It just came out.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, but hard to digest. We'll dive deeper into this on Facebook Live if you want to follow us at 104.3fan.com.
But just a quick thought on this. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 5, just a quick look at this sheet that Big Sexy brought in, are trying to add more plays to be subject to the replay.
Mm.
Which I think we're going to start moving in the direction of that Belichick's suggestion that every single play be reviewable.
All right, let me see if I can just rip through these really quick. I'll do the Denver ones first. This is really cool stuff. Thank you, Brian. Okay, this is an amendment, this rule. Provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team who is trailing in the game an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring. This is the Greg Schiano rule.
The fourth and 15 thing,
see,
right?
See, if we say things on this show over and over and over again, it could possibly have an impact. Yes, this is the concept that you score, you now get the ball on, say, your 25-yard line and it's fourth and 15.
Uh-huh.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Now, their proposal is you only get to do it if you're trailing in the game. So you don't go through an onside kick. If you're losing, you get to do this. I would say just do this, period. And we get just rid of kickoffs and make the game much safer.
Eventually, so, that's going to be the case.
I'm not sure why they went halfway on this. But okay, cool.
Got to start somewhere, I'm assuming.
You got to start somewhere. By the way, this is another AAF rule. This is what they do in the AAF. If you're trailing by 17 or you're losing with like 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, it's something like this. It doesn't go far enough. Just have it this way all the time. By Denver, to add all fourth down plays that are spotted short of the line to gain or goal line to be subject to automatic review in the instant replay system. So anything on fourth down that is short of a first down automatically gets reviewed.
That's what they're saying.
Great. Great idea. Great concept. Because now you could see if maybe it was a touchdown. Because if the referee says, nope, you're short, what are you supposed to do? You can't review it. There's nothing you can do.
I'm not a fan of the automatic review. I'm open to it just being a play that can be reviewed.
But this doesn't mean if you have a flag, it's automatically done. You don't have to worry about it.
I like using the review process as gamesmanship. You get two per half. You can review any play you want. How you use them is up to you, coach, and let still be a slight human factor with the refs on the game. But in critical moments, coaches can review any play.
I like the concept. I think we are on the same more or less page.
Yeah.
Last one, to add try attempts, extra point or 2-point conversion to subject to automatic review in the instant replay system. Fine.
Again, the automatic part I don't like, but I want every play to be subject to review.
And they just say, we're just going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Kyle Berry was dogging me on Twitter because I did not say thank you to him at the end of the show.
Yes, I saw that. I was going to remind you today.
Let me just say, without Kyle Berry, who is so special to us, the possibilities of having a 32-year broadcast career would be impossible. I want to thank Kyle, and especially Kyle's mom, for birthing him.
I want to thank you for the tea, Kyle. I want to thank you for letting me borrow
your headphones. I just cannot say how much we love the contributions of Kyle Berry.
I would never see the text line if it wasn't Kyle.
And I'm telling you, I'm so glad you reminded me of that on Twitter last night. Big Sexy, whatever. Chad Brown, coming up, The Drive Reloaded.